This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, May 7th, 2008.
John.
Good afternoon. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is our meeting in Geneva, May 7th. I'd like to extend a thanks, a very sincere thanks to Geneva and everyone who has helped make this happen. I'd also like to thank Pat for all of her service. It's very valuable to have her as a EA member representing the employees of this facility. I believe the EA members, we had a great time. Very interesting. I learned about gene guns, plum pox, and I got to see hundreds of seeds counted in a matter of 20 seconds. She's very good at it. We're glad to be here. Hopefully we can continue our relationships and come again in the future. I'd like to also give some thanks first to Leon Lawrence, who did win the election for the undoubted exempt position. Congratulations. Also like to inform everyone, I believe everybody does know that Beth McKinney did win the employee elected trustee position. She is not here with us today, unfortunately, but many things, you know, congratulations to her. And thanks to all the candidates who run. It is courageous and time consuming to actually pursue something of that nature. Just to give everybody a little news of what I'm doing, I'm working on the report for trustees that will be happening at the end of this month. Going to go through a little bit of it with you today when I work on the report from the chair. At this time, I'd like to call for any late additions to our agenda. Okay. My report to the trustees is going to wrap up what we've done this year. It's going to give a year in review. The year in review is going to be in the report as far as the president's address, our summer retreat, our winter retreat, the establishment of goals, define and identify who we represent, provide a mechanism for staff to bring issues to the appropriate place, improve our relationships with all Cornell assemblies, establish a mechanism to track progress on our goals. So for the Geneva people, if you didn't know, those five items are what we decided as a group would be our goals for the year, and then we also made one of our goals a mechanism to track the progress of our goals so we can continue moving forward and progressing. Also going to mention some of the open and public forums the employee assembly held this past year. Our child care forum we had, the transportation forum. I'm going to mention the elections. We had an election, a successful election. The Emergency Grant Fund Committee was active by awarding three grants this past year to Cornell employees in need. That the Code of Conduct was passed. We attended regular leadership breakfast. We had some guest visitors. George Peters was one of them and spoke about leadership with our group. Some of our members attended the President's Expanded Group Meeting. We had university awards and recognition as part of what we've done in the past year. We had our meeting today in Geneva. We assisted with campus life workshops. We've done a lot, and this report is going to state everything for the trustees for their review. Next, I want to talk a little bit about the officer positions that officers for this year are over. The term is over on June 1st, and new officers will be nominated and elected by the EA members. I just want to urge again everybody to think about an officer position that they might want to sit in for next year. And if you have any questions about the duties and responsibilities of this of the position you're interested in, you can ask myself, you can ask other EA members that have served on that position, or you can ask the person currently sitting on it. For instance, if somebody is interested in running for the chair position, you can ask myself. Donna was the former chair. Hazel?
I wasn't chair.
Vice chair?
Vice chair.
Okay. So we have some good experience here. You can ask, you can ask people. There's a difference.
When do you want this done by?
This is for you. These are just suggestions to find out what the position entails before you pursue it. So you know what to expect if you do move forward on one of these positions. You do get nominated and you do get elected.
What I was asking, is there a deadline to do that?
Well, the nominations, we're having a meeting. It's the next meeting.
We're voting on our next meeting. It's nomination like the end before then.
What date is that?
21st.
Thank you.
And the nominations will be in, and then the following meeting, we'll have our elections for those positions. I will also let everybody know that I am interested in receiving a nomination for chair again. I have thought about it a lot, and I don't want to use PA time to, you know, first of all, I am interested again in that position. We had our meeting with Mary yesterday, and one of our agenda items with her was to kind of discuss and talk about why the candidates, people interested in being on the EA, why it was such a small number. And it was pretty much summed up that we did get the word out. It was the first time the president actually sent an email out to everybody that could actually get email explaining about the election, what you had to do for candidates.
Could you just clarify for people who are not at the table? When you say Mary, they might not know who that
is. Mary Averman is our Vice President for Human Resources, and every month, Carrie, the Vice Chair, and myself meet with her, as well as our employee elected trustee, Michael Esposito, and Dennis Stein, the editor of Hawthorne. And we meet with her on a monthly basis to keep the communication channels going between the top administrators and the employee assembly. It's a great experience. I'm glad it happens. And sometimes we consult with her about questions we might have, and she offers a lot of insight and explanation into why things happen. The reason is what we want to do is have 1,000 people fill out packets to run for to be on the employee assembly. I mean, that would be ideal. And we get a small number every year.
It would be a big election,
but you know, with any kind of politics, the more people that you get, the better candidates from a bigger pool. If you have a smaller pool, that's what you're limited to. If you're interviewing for to hire a new employee and you have 5 people apply, you may not get the better candidate versus the scenario where you have 500 people apply. The president's office sent out an email to everybody. So we were wondering why we still had a small turnout, and you know, economic conditions, the gas prices, just you know, various different reasons. It's hard to explain why people don't pursue being on the employee assembly. Knowing that we did a good job at increasing our communications this past year, it's really kind of left unexplained.
One thing that Mary had alluded to was that in times of economic hardship, people tend to volunteer less because they're concentrating more, like what you were saying, you know, with gas problems right now, just people are really trying to scrape, you know, make their paychecks go as far as they can and stuff like that. So what she has noticed over her years of service, too, is that in those times there seems to be less volunteerism, not just on the employee assembly, but just in general at the university. So she was leaning towards that as a possible explanation.
Brian,
yes.
I'm wondering, too, if we could somehow attach that lack of interest to the results of the chili chat. I mean, the fact that people can't take vacations because they're feeling guilty, they're putting a lot of burden on others in their department or unit or whatever, maybe that could have something to do with, the commitment that needs to be made to be on this group.
Right. Oh, of course it does. The time that it takes to volunteer on an assembly or any kind of volunteer group is really high.
Well, and I would also say that, kind of going back to the chili chat, people are very insecure about their job. So it's like, if you take time out to volunteer and do those sort of things, well, maybe you don't really need to be there at work. Mm-hmm. So, there's that stigma attached to it. And
well, I also think your supervisors have to be very supportive that you do volunteer and that you want to give back to the university. So I think the supervisors, too, can be more proactive and encouraging their employees to volunteer.
There's still definite inequities, I would say. I know that I had heard Brian Goodell, who was running for the trustee position, he had to take vacation time to be able to do the campaigning and attend the meetings that he did. And so there's definite inequities still for that.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. But every supervisor, every
I don't have. I mean, that's what I was told. But
I differ.
Okay.
But there's a number of reasons why people can't volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't a reflection upon our communication goal that we had for this last year. Is what Mary was summing it up as.
Right.
But also, if someone cannot volunteer to be an officer, they could also volunteer to be a member of a committee, and whether that's short-term or long-term, right now, there's other opportunities to volunteer.
Yeah, people will tend to volunteer on a committee, as Leon said, for end date being in September, where they know they gotta they're going to volunteer for 2-3 months, versus I'm volunteering on something that's going to take a meeting every 2 weeks for the next 2 years, various events. And so that's a lot of the reasoning why we felt that maybe we didn't have a bigger turnout. But it wasn't a reflection upon what we did with communication this year. We did improve, and we're going to continue to improve.
I don't know what it's like on the main campus during the benefit fair. Maybe you can't intrude on HR issues at that point. But I know in Geneva, so many people come to the Venice Fair, and I'm wondering if that's a place where the VA could have a booth and, give out information and have people ask questions. Again, I don't know if you can sort of intrude on the HR aspect of the Venice Fair, but
that's
it seems
great.
Like I get a lot of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely worth exploring. So, we appreciate
it. That's a very good idea.
Yeah.
There's lots of activities and events that happen that we have not engaged in, such as the Venice Fair, that we could, and hopefully as our direction of our communication committee moves forward and we continue to work on progressing on that goal, that we will be able to start working on some more of those areas. And that's a great suggestion. I also would like to ask if you guys don't mind introducing yourselves. For us, we did not know you.
Yes.
We know you.
That was
an exceptional.
People that they know.
we'll start over here. Then.
I already moved him over there in Photoshop.
I'm
Amy Anderson. I work right here.
It's
Ingrid
Stanton.
Just,
it'd be good for a picture.
Oh, photo op. You want to be a picture.
I work in this building as plant pathology, and I'm the chair, and I'm also the president for Station Club. Yes.
Thank you for the coffee this morning.
Really, thank you. So good.
Sheree Martin, so you know me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm working human resources here on half other half.
Yeah, you should definitely be sitting over there.
I'm Janet Solario. I'm a department business administrator. 4 years ago, through workforce planning, we combined a lot of our financial and administrative staff over in Jordan Hall into what we call an administrative service center. I used to be in this building for 3 years. So now I oversee the four business departments.
I'm with Communication Services. I'm a photographer and writer. I'm trying to hate myself.
Well, thank you for your introduction. If at any time you have any questions, we don't get here much. I'm allowing you to, during committee reports, anything. If you have anything that you want to add, just, you know, speak up. So again, that report to the trustees will be submitted shortly, probably in the next day or two, and the verbal report to the trustees will happen later on this month. That's it for the report from the chair. Any questions? Okay.
Oh, Brian, for your report to the trustees, yep. Do you want to let people know when that is?
I believe, I'm not sure exactly when it is.
Friday morning, May 23rd.
Yeah, 23rd. Yeah, I didn't know if that was confirmed, so I didn't want to give out a phone.
We'll find out when it is.
For sure.
Yes, right. You may. You should have tickets. They can be picked up at the info desk in Day Hall. It's usually nice to go and support Brian as he gives his talk or his report, and usually most of the EA, if you can get there. So when we find out, we'll zero in on the time and we'll make sure you know. And
yeah, and generally it's at the sale, or I just can't remember.
Sage, the
first. Oh, is it Sage?
We'll be at Sage Hall this year.
Down
okay,
Sage.
Right. Actually, that's a nice place.
Yeah, it's
kind of
better room.
Yeah,
where do you get tickets?
Day Hall. Can you get those?
I
was going to ask, do most of you plan on going, or do you need to know like when it is? Because I can let council's office know and see if we can, because they only put 10 of them out at the desk. So
I think
let me check.
Nice
Amy and I will check on that.
Okay.
And we'll get ahead.
I have a freebie, so you don't have to.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
also at this event, the employee assembly will be presenting an award. And he's not here, and I doubt that he listened to the audio in minutes from the website. To Michael Esposito, our long-serving employee elected trustee, we're going to be recognizing him for his work and dedication to
us. When are we going to do that, Brian?
Right during the 8 minutes. I have 8 minutes to do my report.
I thought they gave you 8 minutes.
They like it. Yeah, I worked it out with Kristen Montgomery, and I have 8 minutes, and she knows about me at work. One thing, I'm a big supporter of recognition, and I find a public place to recognize people, and I try to do it. Okay, a report from the UA representative.
Only one thing to report, but a big thing, and it's kind of knowledge at this point anyway, but the University Assembly did approve the Campus Code of Conduct, the latest version, and I think it's been out in the news. The President has also approved it and will be presenting it to the trustees. So that was a big win at the end of the year for those guys. Get that done.
Yeah.
I think it was a 2-year process. So. And that's the only thing I really want to report on.
Thank you. Bill Lennox is our University Assembly representative. He's also our vice chair for finance, who moved in when Pat was last year was that position. They work together. They've done a great job. Actually, our finance committee has saved the employee assembly quite a bit of money this year, and it was very good to cover some expenses that we had to come up with. So good job. Approval of minutes. The email did come out. I personally didn't get a chance to look at these ones ahead of time. So I'm going to give everybody a couple minutes to browse through these. What we generally do on our meetings is our minutes get typed up by out of the Office of Assemblies, and then we vote on approving them before they're actually publicly posted. And that's what we're working on doing now.
Make a motion that the meeting minutes for April 2nd, 2008 be approved as written.
Second.
Leon. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll move forward on approving the minutes for April 2nd meeting. And next, we will move on to our committee report. The Employee Assembly has lots of different committees that we sponsor, and we give each committee a chance to update the Employee Assembly about what's going on, and that's what we're going to move forward on doing now. And we're going to start with the Executive Committee Report, which is a group of officers from the Employee Assembly. We did talk about different ideas for the President's Address, how we can step it up a notch, possibly. We also, in our meeting with Mary Otterman, Vice President of Human Resources, yesterday, we mentioned that same idea, and she's all for it, doing something different, possibly. We talked about it was. I had a misunderstanding. I thought that officers in their positions on the Employee Assembly could only be serving for 1 year, and the Office of Assembly at our exec meeting corrected me. And explain that it is, you can do 2 consecutive years. And that's part of what it changed my mind about being interested in the nomination. Anything to add, Carrie or Bill?
No,
we spent most time on the President's Address.
On the President's Address, mm-hmm. regarding the format of it, I mean, we don't have to discuss that here, but if there's right. ideas and suggestions, submit those to who?
We probably will have it come up as a, you can always throw it on as an agenda item to bring up, but depending on the timing, I would probably look to create an ad hoc committee for somebody, a group of people to actually start planning the President's Address now.
Okay.
And versus September when the event is October 1st.
October 1st.
That's not confirmed. We're trying to confirm a date for the President's Address.
Is that something that you're working on, Amy, to confirm? Or
Dennis has told
Dennis
me he would get it to me
okay.
as soon as he had it. So October 1st came just yesterday, and it's not confirmed as yet.
Good.
Either.
I just want to make sure someone was working on that.
That's during staff celebration week.
Historically,
that's why the date is being run by the president's office right now.
It's time to book that day for him now.
I just think real quick, the employee trustee sitting there answering questions that the president acknowledged that he already received in advance is like counterproductive to me. But anyway, that's another discussion with the ad hoc committee.
Yeah, when we move, I think it's a good idea, but we bring that to, we can throw that on new business, you know, maybe for our next meeting and try to firm up how we're going to do to plan the president's address, because it is, that is our number one goal, and it's a continual annual goal that we'll try to work on. Okay, we will move on to the staff award.
One last thing on the president's address. is it possible to have a live feed of it out to Geneva?
I'm sure it is. With proper planning, we can do that.
Okay.
And money.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll see what's possible, because we do videotape it.
Why is it possible?
It's more expensive to potentially videotape and then do a live broadcast as opposed to just videotape for archiving on the web that you can view later, and there's a cost difference, but we can look into that with the media production group.
Maybe we could even hook up a polycom at the same time.
That could be. We would be happy to do that.
Testing ahead of time.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Just based on him.
So it is.
Yep.
Right on the podium. Staff Award Recognition Committee, there's nothing to report. Communication Committee, Carrie Howell, our Vice Chair, is also the Chair of the Communication Committee.
So on Communication Committee, we discussed the election and came up with some of the same things that we discussed then with Mary the other day that you already alluded to. We also discussed the events that we go to and what we have to present when we go to the events. So the display board, we have one right now, there's pictures on it, but improving that and having a person responsible for updating it and, you know, taking suggestions and constantly improving it. And Stephen, who's a member of ComCom now, volunteered to do that. So he'll be in charge of that. Also, the communication materials that go along with the display board, handouts, whatnot, he'll be in charge of those. And then we also talked about just overall communication. So, for example, like with the United Way campaign, they might have 5 bulleted topics that they hit upon and talk about, so it's talking points at each event that we do. And so we're going to be discussing that at the next meeting. We'll spend the whole communication committee meeting talking about what those talking points might be and getting something started around that. And lastly, Andy, who is also a new member of Communications Committee, we were talking about the Employee Assembly webpage, and he does a lot of work with web pages, so he had taken a look at that, and because he's new on, you know, serving with the EA, he's on. That's the first place he went to, and he had some questions on it. And so he's going to be working with Ari in the future on things that he thinks might add a little bit to the web page and see what we can work on with that. And that's it.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to our finance report. Bill?
Yeah, Pat and I and Leon did meet to the last week, and we've been working on next year's budget and just putting some ideas together. The plan is, and we will put out a proposal before the next meeting, and so that we have a chance to maybe talk about a little bit at the meeting. What we're trying to do is kind of at least put a skeleton together or some proposals of this is where the funds look like they're going to go based on what we know, and then it'll go to you guys so that all the committees can take a look at it and kind of fill in the details.
Emergency grant fund. Dennis is not here, but this is the committee that it's very good news to have the emergency grant fund committee not have anything to report. Then there's nothing to report at this time. Personnel policy is chaired by Peter Cortlandt. Oh, it's Donna. I'm sorry. It's chaired by Donna Goss.
Our committee hasn't met. We've had conflicting time. We scheduled a meeting and then there was an EA event going on. That's happened the last few times. So that has happened. And also a couple of our members, Deb Howell is a member who is sort of been busy lately. Joe DeMarco hasn't been able to come. So, you know, we've just kind of lost steam in that committee. And with nothing really pressing to finish for this year, it hasn't gelled. So what I'll do for the end of the year is just put down some recommendations of the topics that were presented to the committee that we didn't get to, okay, to put those together for the incoming crew.
Just in general, though, was one of the topics tuition reimbursement for staff employees?
No, that's education.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's coming up. Thank you, Donna.
Sure.
Now we'll move on to Peter Korolov for the IOC.
What does that acronym mean?
Internal Operations Committee.
In addition to Leah, I'd also like to congratulate our other new members, Jason, Alan, who's not here, and I'm missing one.
Gary.
Hi.
Gary's been around for a while. I'm going to start brand new.
Yeah.
So, and Gary. So good job to everyone who ran, and even though they're not in doubt seats, they're still seated. I'll be in contract seats. The only other IOC thing is I'm accepting nominations now for seats. You can nominate others, you can nominate yourself for any of the five seats. I sent out an email about that in your inbox, so you can look through and see the list of available seats, who is currently seated, if you want to contact them for more information about that seat and so on. And we're going to have our officer elections at our next meeting. So plan for that and try to have it be awesome if we have as many people as possible show up that meeting so we have a fair officer election. Yes.
If a member of the EA group isn't going to be able to attend, can they assign a proxy to bring? Are you going to send out ahead of time who's running for what?
Yeah, I'll nomination I get, although we'll probably also get the last minute nomination.
Okay. Actually, I did that for Pat 1 year.
Anything we can do is help facilitate voting.
That was your question.
Yes.
You gave me a written thing. Do you remember?
I do.
Is that for me? Is that right?
No.
I don't know what's going on.
I never get that.
my question is, are we expecting those who are nominated to stand up at the meeting and kind of do their spiel before we vote?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Is
mm-hmm.
it, okay.
At least we'll just be able to answer that question.
We have talked about this. Is it okay if I share what?
Yeah, I was actually just going to ask him. But you go ahead.
We had talked about this in the executive group, and the graduate students have a really clean process of where they invite nominations. If there's a contested, if there are more than one nomination, then each person gets to speak up and say a few words, and then it's secret ballot. No one
mm-hmm.
has to leave the room. It's very clean. It's not awkward at all. And so we had talked about that, and I think I had, and actually just asked Ari yesterday to write up a kind of a process so that we could follow that. And I don't know, Brian seemed to like that idea, mm-hmm. so I think we were going to move in that direction.
Are you saying not have the person leave the room?
Right.
I wouldn't agree with that.
No, they get to say what they want. It's a secret writing ballot, though.
No, but I'm saying I personally like having time for discussion whether or not in the room. That's just my personal preference, though. Maybe we can talk about our next meeting.
It's a valuable part.
Mm-hmm, it's very valuable.
Debating who the best candidate is for the job, in my experience.
So on the ballot, like all the names are printed on. No, you just
write
a name.
Down.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You just write down
who you
are.
Yeah, there's two ways of doing it. And what we're talking about for our Geneva visitors is, well, we're the visitors, but I have homies. Is during our elections for officers, what we do is a question and answer with, so for instance, if Peter was nominated to run for the chair of the employee assembly. We would ask questions. He would do a little speech if he wanted to and plead his case. And then whoever was running against him, we would ask him to leave the room and have a discussion without them in the room. And so we're leaning two ways, continuing to do that or keeping them in the room and voting, instead of voting while they're out of the room, voting by ballot. So, but I think the IOC can get together and work out that. And it's going to be the IOC's recommendation. And
okay.
But we did talk about it at our last exec meeting, and you know, it sounds like a good idea.
So the IOC would recommend in the entire
how we're going to do
with
it,
vote,
and this needs to happen
yes
soon
no
too. So, and I think that's you know how we'll handle that.
Sure.
Also, one thing we did talk about was what we did last year was if you were nominated for one seat and you didn't win, you immediately move to the next seat. And I believe that we decided that that wasn't how we were going to do it. So if you were nominated for vice chair and then we voted and you didn't win vice chair, you would automatically move down to the next officer position to be eligible. And that's what we did last year, mm-hmm. and we're not going to do that this year. You're going to be nominated for the position and accept the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, we had the one EA member that started at the top and went all the way through and didn't get anything. But IOC can work out the details for that as well.
But doesn't that make a person win by default?
It would make a person win by default if they moved into a position that they weren't nominated for. Mm-hmm. But if you nominate me for chair, Hazel, and then I don't win, and I don't win vice chair. Next thing you know, I'm vice chair of finance because no one was running. You didn't really nominate me for vice chair of finance.
Right.
You nominated me for chair.
Right. So what we had talked about was the possibility that the person said they didn't get vice chair and they moved to, and I don't even remember what is next, parliamentarian or finance,
okay.
That they would have the option then.
Right.
Of
or someone could, someone could renominate.
Could nominate at that time. So, you know, if Jason's running for chair, he doesn't get chair, we would say, would you like to be considered for vice chair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can always nominate yourself,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
If you are interested, then mm-hmm. that would be your opportunity.
Right.
And you can always, if you are nominated, you can always decline.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except if you nominate yourself.
No.
But I mean, going down the list.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's another, and I've been talking about this every meeting for the last month or so. In the report from the chair, I've been urging EA members to think about what they would be good at, to think about the time that it takes, and if they can, you know, pull it off successfully. And if you think that you would be good at vice chair of finance, that committee and that officer, maybe you wouldn't be good at parliamentarian. So just to keep going down the board, you know, may not put the best person in the best seat. But ILC, again, you guys can work that out and bring it up to us at our next meeting.
Score.
Okay, we'll move on to university benefits.
We haven't had another meeting since our last EA meeting, and at that time I reported that we had the members from Towers Karen present the benefit package. It was really focusing on retiring medical benefits. And we're hoping to come up with a recommendation from that committee by the end of this fiscal year. So we're still moving in that direction. So I'm assuming that, as I reported at the last meeting, the Charles Perrin was going to come back with some hard numbers for Cornell. They gave us some scenarios, but it's like if we were to implement either program A, B, or C, this is what it would mean for us. So that's what we're looking forward to at our next meeting.
Okay. Any questions for Donna? Okay, Donna. Donna is also chair of our Employee Education Committee.
And actually, university benefits kind of rolls into the employee education question. At the last meeting, I reported that I had sent Maureen Burrell an email asking where we stood on the tuition reimbursement. So because tuition reimbursement is a benefit, it kind of goes into the university benefits. That's why I say they kind of overlap a little bit. Her response, because we've kind of been going back and forth on this year, as to, you know, it's an initiative that got started a long time ago. It gained a little steam this fall, but it's kind of been put on the back burner, really, because of the retiree medical benefits and how much that might cost the university to implement that program. It really depends on what option you choose. So that's really going to impact what benefits are available, the dollars, you know, that are available.
So specifically, what was the education? What was it that we're trying to do?
The proposal that was brought forward was to increase the amount of tuition reimbursement for staff members to equal that of the children tuition benefit. Right now, if you have a staff member has a child that goes to college elsewhere other than Cornell, they receive 30% of Cornell tuition rate at the college that they're attending. If a staff member is to go elsewhere and take classes at somewhere other than Cornell, they receive 30% of the SUNY tuition rate, which is the TC3 tuition rate.
So is that only for one class?
About $105, I think.
That's about right. $104.96, I think, is what it is. Yeah, for a credit class.
That's even less than that if it's an online course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cornell tuition is what, $925 a credit?
Well, it's more than that.
For $30,000.
Yeah. So
for endowed.
So for example, okay, my son goes to a college that's about the same tuition as Cornell. So he's on trimester. So for each trimester, he receives about $2,400 in tuition benefits, which is terrific. You know, it's very helpful. I, on the other hand, am in an MBA program, which is also $30,000. For each class that I take, it's a 6-credit class. Mm-hmm. So I think it's $396, which, you know, will cover maybe my books.
Mm-hmm. So it's cheaper for your children than it is.
Exactly. And so when we're talking about workforce retention and recruiting people, it's something that would definitely encourage people to stay and promote their education and grow within their field or pursue another opportunity at the university if they had an opportunity to get education and, you know.
And even if you take classes in Cornell proper, if you're in the employee degree program, it's not $900 a credit. They only give you like $400 a credit.
That's
they haven't changed it in years and years. So I was a TA one semester. I actually went over that, so then you end up paying tax.
Yeah. That's correct.
Which I decided, you know, that was okay, but she said, oh, yeah, we haven't looked into bumping this up in a really long time.
Employees that pursue a graduate degree get hit even harder.
You got to be really careful. Like, I'm not taking as many credits as I would because
of the cost.
Yeah, you can take 8 credits, but they only pay for 6.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, did you say you were pursuing a master's degree as well? Is that impacting you as well?
Well, I'm only taking one class.
So they pay for that. At Cornell?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I do. But I also take classes other places. I don't get anything for it.
Right. Which goes to what you were saying.
Right.
You know, how many classes you could take at
Cornell. So then the employee assembly is asking the university to cover the cost of the course.
To change the benefit.
Right.
Just to make it the same. It's
as
inequitable.
As your children
right.
get.
Right.
And any increase is good.
Yeah.
So if you can go from, in that scenario, $100 to $300, it's significant over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't get to 100%.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you feel that by doing that, you threaten at all the children? I mean, I've gone to financial meetings here on campus, and they're always whining about how much the children's tuition program actually costs the university. And I guess I would be, I'm not opposed to it, but I'd be a little leery of jumping up for employees.
Let me address that, because there already is an employee degree program, so it's not like there are other staff that have to be hired to attend to the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an increase in the dollar amount of the tuition, so the administrative costs wouldn't increase.
Yeah, it's the same.
I've worked on
And please threaten that. There are many universities that don't offer really good, I mean, a lot of them, like Syracuse, if you're a janitor there, your child goes free.
To be honest with you, Cornell's tuition benefit, it's good, you know, don't get me wrong, but there are peers that do more than we do.
Yeah.
So this request is really not out of line.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I agree.
So we're
right.
But we have to also take care of our retirees' medical benefits.
Right.
That's important. So,
yeah.
So that's
why I'm going to pay some if I have to, but if it's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions for Donna? Okay, that's going to wrap up our committee report. We did have another. I asked everybody that was here to introduce themselves, and you walked in afterwards. I didn't get a chance to.
I'm John VanderWyde. I work in the Village and Properties Group here.
Thank you.
He doesn't just work there. He's the director.
he's modest.
Director of Facilities.
We'll move on to old business. We have nothing listed, but to keep our audience informed before our new business happens. It wasn't long ago that we actually formed an ad hoc committee of a group of members, and Pat is actually serving on this ad hoc committee that is tasked with reviewing our charter. Our charter was written years ago, and it's not up to date, and they're going to be going through it and making recommendations for the change. So as we move into new business, there's another ad hoc committee that I actually proposed that we're going to try to pass and vote today. And what this is the same as the ad hoc committee we just passed, except it deals with Article 3 of our charter, which is the way the staff or the way the seats are broken up. Currently, we have a 13-seated employee assembly, and a couple of them come from non-endowed exempt, a couple from contract at large, I don't know, endowed exempt. And this committee, what I want them to be tasked with is exploring other ways of the employee assembly model, the makeup of the model. Would it be best to designate logical separations among the university, Geneva being one, for instance, that there's always a member on the EA from these areas, kind of like your congressional district. There's someone that represents from each area. In that way, we would get a better representation of everybody. So that's what this resolution is dealing with. And we can move on. So I just gave a little background in case you don't know about this. We have a resolution that I actually proposed. I believe that everybody is aware of it. And I'll leave it open for discussion now.
Brian, do you think it would be helpful if you just read it? Or do they all have copies of the resolution?
Nope, they can't.
While everyone's reading it, feel free to make comments. Yeah.
Can I be on this committee when I officially join the board?
There shouldn't be any problem. It would just,
okay.
If this passes, I'm the chair of this committee, and it would just be a committee appointment.
Okay.
But we will carry expressed interest also, but I didn't communicate with Ari, who actually typed this up to get her on there. To me, the more the better. We're actually going to be reaching out to other non-EA members aggressively to get them involved, because we want other opinions. Donna's going to get dinged to sit on this. There's different. What we want to do, we're going to get the underrepresented areas of our university involved in this committee to get input from them.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's wise to solicit non-EA members.
Right.
And
so this resolution then would have to be amended, right?
What is this, voting members? Is that what you?
Be it further resolved.
You all could be voting members, and other people should still be on the committee.
above it says...
But Jason, were you specifically asking to be a member, to be a voting member? If
yes.
you are, I think then it would have to be amended.
Unless we make that change and then pass a resolution with the change.
Exactly.
Well, the word initially, I think, kind of maybe says that there could be additional members later on, but for this specific...
Yeah, just to get it rolling along, but as the chair of this committee myself appoints a new member, they're a voting member, or I would have to clarify if they're getting appointed as a voting member or a non-voting member.
So we could amend it right now in the resolution.
Peter,
the discussion.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's Brian's resolution, so he can consider it a friendly amendment and put it in if he chooses to.
Okay. With that change, so we'll have to stand as is with that change, and then continue discussing if people really need to.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody understand what this is for? We talked about it at our winter retreat. It's exciting. Don't know if anything's going to happen with it, but we will. Hazel's done a lot of work on this already, and Pat and Leon in the Office of Assemblies.
Just above that, what you guys were talking, it says, be it further resolved that the chair will stay at the committee as needed with members of the assembly and will appoint a chair. If you're going to reach out to other people, can they be part of the committee if they're not part of the assembly? The way that reads is they cannot be a part of the committee.
Where is that, though?
This is second, be it further resolved that the chair will staff the committee as needed with members of the assembly and will appoint a chair. That states that you can only be a member of the committee if you're a...
So let's cross out with members, cross out of the assembly. That gives it open to non-members and members.
Because then the next, be it further resolved, states that there'll be voting members that will serve with Brian, so that...
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So the chair won't...
Do you guys understand or have any questions about what this is doing? We just feel the way that the structure of the EA and how we're seated on the EA is... I'm endowed exempt, but I'm on an endowed non-exempt position right now that is due to a promotion, but the reason they broke it up into having these different seats is to make sure that we pull from contract college, make sure we pull from endowed college. But over the years, that really hasn't been the case. We're down members. We need members. We have interest. We appoint them. They're not on those type of seats anyway, and that's how it's been. So we want to try to explore other ways, look at other universities, how they're doing it, and see if we can make some recommendations to make it better.
Brian, another possible friendly amendment would be in that same section that Bill just read.
Yes.
Shouldn't it, if not, I don't think it's necessary to say, and we'll appoint a chair, because in the following, you say that you're going to serve
the chair. Yeah.
So it's sort of awkward.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take off, and we'll appoint a chair. Everybody see that? So it's just going to say, be it further resolved that the chair will staff the committee as needed with members.
I saw that, but I'm wondering what would happen as well, again, for continuity. You know, if this ad hoc committee goes on for a couple of years and a chair, you know, resigns or is no longer part of it, I think leaving that in would allow whoever is the chair of the employee assembly at that time to appoint a new chair to run the committee.
What were you on? We'll appoint a chair as needed. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
These resolutions, they get tricky, because if you're not careful, then it leaves a lot of misinterpretation or viewpoints on the interpretation, and this is just trying to save us from headaches in the future. So that's why we are careful with these.
I'd like to make a motion with the amendments that we just made to pass the resolution.
Can we read off those amendments?
I can tell you what I have.
Did we close the discussion?
Oh, I didn't know we had.
Well, no, we put the motion on, then we have discussion after the motion.
Okay,
fine. So we kind of cheated.
Okay. I have, be it further resolved, that the chair will staff the committee as needed with members and will appoint a chair as needed. We have a friendly amendment that were we going to put Jason and Carrie in now, or just we just know that the chair can appoint and then the chair will specify, is it a voting member or a non-voting member?
Right. I think they should be put in now, because they want it to be a part of that.
Okay. And what do we do as far as voting and non-voting? Just add that in, and then I can read it to you what I got.
Mm-hmm.
Donna, are you in?
But I have a clarification, because I won't be an employee assembly member next year.
Right.
So do I still get to be a voting member?
Well,
do you have a non-EA member as a voting member?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think.
But it's up to the resolution to decide.
Oh.
That makes sense to me to have a non-EA member vote.
I think they should be a part of the committee, because I think it's vital that they are. But I agree with you on the voting.
Yeah.
Why is the voting even? I mean, the committee just put forth a resolution on the change that the EA is going to vote on. So I don't really know if there's necessarily have a distinction of voting not my members on this committee.
Yeah,
that's a good point. The EA is going to make the ultimate.
And that'll make it easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this is what it's going to say. Be it further resolved that Brian Cornell, Hazel Hall, Peter Korolov, Pat Mahoney, Leon Lawrence, Jason Seymour, Carrie Howe, and Donna Goss will serve as members, and Brian Cornell will serve as chair.
There you go.
Will initially serve
as members.
So you've left it open so you can add
more
people.
And I would just put everybody alphabetically, but that's me.
Yeah.
I would just put everybody alphabetically, but that's just me.
So I'll second.
Is it phone boy, girl, boy, girl?
No. Alphabetically, it doesn't matter what the gender is.
I have a second on the motion.
So to pass as amended. Resolution.
As I read.
Create that committee.
All in favor?
Oh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I get that
I didn't get my last discussion.
Oh.
Because I didn't get my last discussion on that.
Yeah,
I read on the clip. Okay. On the first, be it therefore resolved, I'm not going to go through the big paragraph there. It states that you're going to prepare a report, summarize the status of the charter recommended changes. The committee shall report back to the Assembly at the first regularly scheduled meeting in September. This is a very significant change, a very big process, and I guess it's more a clarification of, is it really realistic? If you're going to try and reach out to other universities to understand what they're doing, you're going to try and reach out to the Cornell community in general and try and get the live input and so forth. It sounds like a very aggressive schedule. I just want to read it. So
this is to get the first update.
Just an update?
Where because
it's the same recommended changes.
I agree.
Well,
just that the committee should report back to the Assembly at its first regularly scheduled meeting.
In September 2015.
Huh?
Right. And then on a regular basis thereafter. Or
I mean, I could see it. I definitely could see an initial report. The way this read, it read to me like we're going to come back and here's our recommendations for changes. And I just don't want you guys to get set up in a situation where we can't meet it. So what are you suggesting?
I'm saying that the committee shall report initial progress back to the Assembly.
Something in nature.
Yeah, we don't want it to look like it's
the final report.
I agree.
Doesn't an ad hoc committee that gets created then be put on the agenda of every EA meeting until it's dissolved?
Absolutely. This is our first meeting anyway, so it's just saying to be ready.
Where's your sunset clause?
The sunset clause.
It says bylaw requires a sunset clause.
Yeah.
Is it expected to report back to the EA at our first regularly scheduled meeting? The termination of the committee is left to determine in the future. But that's what the sunset clause is, to report back. When do you report back? And then, because there's no way you can say it's over.
Okay, do you want to read the changes again?
I sure will. Well, this is the same resolution that we passed for the other ad hoc committee. So, but interesting points.
Yeah.
Okay, so if in the first, be it therefore resolved that, the last sentence, the committee shall report initial progress, those keywords, initial progress, are, will be added back to the assembly at its first regularly scheduled meeting in September. That gives what we're reporting versus the recommendations. Here's our recommendations. So it's a good point. The second, be it further resolved that the chair will staff the committee as needed with members and will appoint a chair as needed, which leaves it open. Mm-hmm. Then the next, be it further resolved that all the members, including Jason, Donna, and Carrie, in an alphabetical list. will initially serve as members, and Brian Cornell will serve as the chair. Mm-hmm. And with that, goes amended changes. Do I still have a motion in the same second?
Mm. Yeah. Correct.
Sure.
I'll make a motion to pass it with the changes.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Yep. We'll pass the creation of this ad hoc committee.
It's that hard to pass, but that belongs to the ad hoc committee.
Yeah, no, right. Until the resolution comes in.
Okay, we have a couple minutes for an open forum. If anybody wants to, if any of our visitors, but our audience, or any of our members want to speak, it's an open forum. And yes.
This is just from another staff member here.
Okay.
They wondered if it'd be possible through the wellness program on main campus, if more could be offered as Geneva, not just programs that people come up and do a lunchtime program, but possibly offsetting costs of membership at local gym or YMCA, because there's nothing on campus. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I put my other hat on. I'm the assistant director of the wellness program. What I would say is I think that that's a good point for the employee assembly to look at in general. But with my other hat on also, I know that we have been looking into it and we have talked to Mary Offerman about it, and it's definitely not off of the table for discussion. And if that person would like to contact me for our program personally, that would be great to tap into more information. Definitely.
And Carrie, I think it would be helpful. A lot of folks in Geneva don't understand that there is a membership mm-hmm. involved with the wellness group. So staff members pay to participate in the wellness group to have on-campus activities available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here in Geneva, we don't have...
Yeah, the facilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if I'm understanding what Amy is saying, we do have things like curves for
right.
women, and so if maybe some...
But it's more expensive.
I
mean, it's definitely... We agree completely. The
well,
staff agrees. So
we have Hobart okay. Williams Smith College here.
Mm-hmm.
They allow... I mean, this is a choice the college made, but
mm-hmm.
it's been discriminatory for years, that they allow the faculty, they allow even visitors that are here for mm-hmm. a month,
academic,
and students who have access to the facilities at Cornell, free membership to the weight room and the field and everything in Hobart, where the staff members have to pay.
Right.
So that has been a bonus contingent.
I know about that. Yeah. But again, that's something the assembly can also.
How much do they charge the staff members? Do you know?
For the 60. Weight room and the walking area, it's $130. I get a walking pass for 50 on the track.
A year up.
A year. So. Yeah.
So it's not so much having to pay. I think it's the unfairness. But
yeah.
then it's not Cornell's fault, really.
It's not that facility.
Hobart made the decision because they don't think they feel they want an influx of free members, you know, from the community.
And that's what they're missing with their students.
Even if
it was like
prorated
opening up
right.
to the public, you wouldn't want so much from the public coming and work out with your students.
I think that it's also... just in brief, I think it's bigger than also just at Geneva as well, because as Cornell University gets spread further and further from a centralized campus, you're running into that inequity at a lot of different places and the problem. So definitely know that it has not fallen off of our radar. And the more that we hear from people, too, the higher it kind of pushes it up. So I encourage you to contact the
You're going to contact Gary?
Yes.
You're going to mm-hmm. have that person?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that is something that we need to work on. In my opinion, I can't speak for everybody at the table. But I agree with you. Why is it them and us? Why is there a difference?
In my opinion, I say that if they didn't change that we boycott. You know what I mean? Our faculty and students shouldn't be going there if our staff members are excluded. That's just my opinion.
Pat and Sheree have both made a very good effort to bring more, as well as Beth and your staff. And what has been coming in monthly has been very well received, and we're very thankful for you coming.
And our staff wanted to say hello to Geneva and give a hug before I left.
Do you have any other? Is there any? Yes.
I don't know if this is a policy or a benefit question, but would this be the group that would propose the university a change in policy on content? I think there's both a business reason and an employee reason to allow us to take it, allow us more time to take it. And that doesn't affect a huge amount of people. Right now, you have to use it by June 1. Most of it's accumulated on winter break.
I can tell you our process, and if you don't mind following it. If you you can email me or the generic employee assembly email address, or the office of assemblies, or Carrie, or Pat and Pat and forward it on, and be specific about this request. We'll take it into executive committee. And we're going to determine where it goes. Is this something for the university, and we'll get it to the appropriate place, or is this something for our personnel policy committee? And that, and we'll keep you updated on how we handle your issue, if you don't mind doing that.
I'm not 100% sure of this, but Cornell may in fact be following, and it'll be looked into state or federal regulation. Maybe it's out of Cornell's hands, but it should be investigated if that's a concern. And like Brian said,
We're not the experts on all that here, but we consult with our university resources and get the answers for you. But it's a good point to bring up. Do you guys have anything else?
Yeah.
And feel free, as you know, if we come here, every year, that's a long time. If you have any, these are like perfect examples of what we want to hear from our Geneva employees. Call us, let your representative Pat know. She can forward it on to us or email us. But this is what we want to hear so we can help. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have anything?
I was just thinking on the benefits, on the wellness part. I know the Endowed College, there's a blue choice that actually gives you $500 back if you join a gym, but we don't get that in a choice in Geneva. So that could help. If we had that benefit here in Geneva, that blue choice option, then, or on the state college altogether, that could be the answer to that wellness pay for or health pay for medication.
Yeah, there's insurance plans now that are offering perks, so they give you money back or they pay for a gym membership. And that's determined by the insurance company. And so that's something that through the benefits program, we can, any type of feedback you give us, I can give it to the benefits the program. Like what Brian was saying, we'll take it into executive, we'll determine whether it's something for the whole board or whether it goes right to benefits so that they can call up the insurance company and say, hey.
And in our tracking, one of our goals was tracking these types of issues. We'll be able to track this. This won't get lost in the cracks. We will follow up and get answers for you and stay on top of it. So with that, I want to thank you for having us. This is a wonderful experience for me. I did not know what you knew about. I didn't want to go research and find out. I didn't know yesterday. I want to know today.
She's just like Gina.
And my wife is texting, oh, this is going to be on the website. I'm going to Gene Gunner good behavior. Thank you again for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to let you know we're very grateful for past service and Geneva's sacrifices to have her come and serve on the Employee Assembly. Mm-hmm. And with that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So move.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.